Cancer. I bet even hearing that strikes a feeling of uneasiness in you, and I don't blame you. However, we all know someone or may have been affected ourselves by cancer, so unfortunately, there's no hiding from it. As we learn more and more about cancer, we're learning that exercise can have a big impact on the prevention and treatment of cancer. So let's dive into the details today. Welcome back, everybody, to the Building Lifelong Athletes podcast. I'm your host, Drew Reneke. Thanks so much for stopping by yet. If we haven't met yet, I am a double board certified physician in family and sports medicine. And the whole goal of this podcast is to help keep you active and healthy for life through actionable, evidence-informed education. And today we're talking all about exercise and cancer. And usually I start with this, like, hey, why do we care about it? And, you know, the sad reality is this is very, very common, right? 20 million new cancer diagnoses each year will happen, and 10 million cancer-related deaths worldwide. That's a lot of cancer deaths and a lot of people affected by this. And everyone knows someone who's been affected by it, right? So it is going to be prevalent. And it's now the second largest disease burden globally, meaning outside of, you know, cardiovascular disease, cancer is the biggest one in terms of it affects the most amount of people. And understanding cancer, we have to kind of step back first. I just want to, like, lay the groundwork for understanding cancer. I want to say, you know, people always talk about, like, oh, when are we going to cure cancer? Like, the thing I want to talk about is there's no one cancer, like no quote unquote cancer. There are lots and lots of cancers. And even inside of one cancer, there are many different subtypes. So specifically, you know, when people say cancer, like there are so many types. Like inside of breast cancer, there are multiple types. Colon cancer, multiple types. Prostate cancer, multiple types. So there is no one cancer, and it gets very confusing fast. And like, we're not going to go over all those anyways, but it's just one thing I want to mention. Just I've seen this in the lay public where people say, like, you know, big pharma's got the cure to cancer. They're just not releasing it. It's like, first of all, like, no, they don't, because there's no one cancer. Is there a chance that maybe a small chance that they have a cure for one type of cancer? Highly unlikely. But even that's the case, that's just one tiny thing. And so when someone says, oh, they have a cure for cancer, they don't, because cancer is not just one universal thing. It is many different subsets. So I just want to say that. And if someone's spouting that, then I would say, like, hey, let's just move on to the next person, not consume that person's media. So, and the first topic I want to talk about is, can we prevent cancer with exercise? And like the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, meaning, hey, can we cut this off before it happens? That's the goal, right? That's absolutely what we want to do from a prime, you know, prevention standpoint. We want to prevent this before it happens. There's different stages of prevention in terms of, you know, primary, primordial, secondary, all these different ones. And I could talk about that in an earlier podcast. But at the end of the day, if we can prevent something before it happens, then that is ideal. So obviously, though, we can't guarantee anything, right? Cancer is super complicated. We don't quite fully understand it. There's a lot going on. So we know that we can't definitively say, hey, if you do these exercises or exercise this much, it's going to prevent that. But there are some trends in the data, and there are some definite decreases in risk of cancer with physical activity. So there are the opposite as well. If you have physical inactivity, you have a higher risk of having cancer. Specifically, let's start with colorectal cancer. It's thought that physical inactivity accounts for about 13 to 14% of colon cancer incidence. So saying we could tie about 14% of the colon cancer findings that we have based on people who are inactive. On top of that, when you are physically active, it creates a 20% reduction in the risk of developing colorectal cancer in men and women. So from a colon cancer standpoint, you know, that's pretty awesome. You can decrease risk by 20%. That's pretty substantial, 1 in 5. I'll take those odds for sure. From a breast cancer perspective, the average risk reduction was about 25 to 30% for people who did exercise, and it was a dose-dependent response, meaning the more intense and the more volume people did with exercise, the less chance they had of cancer. Prostate cancer, the evidence here is not quite as strong for prevention, but data seems to link it towards decrease in more advanced forms. So what this means is the people who exercised didn't necessarily get less prostate cancer, but they got the less advanced form. So it was less serious, less complications. So exercise still beneficial there. And the one thing we have to think about is there are lots of limitations, right, to cancer prevention studies. Usually these are some sort of cohort studies. A cohort study, just to remind everybody, is we look at two different groups, right? So two groups that are hopefully similar. So we kind of match them before and then we follow them out. So this group exercises, this group doesn't. Let's see what happens in the future. And you try to do fancy statistical analyses to say, hey, we're going to, you know, make sure that we cancel out the effects of, oh, maybe these people smoked or they consume less vegetables or what. They try to match things out and reduce them, but it's really hard to do, right? Because a group that exercises more probably does a lot of other health promoting things like eating vegetables and getting sleep and maintaining their body weight. And even we try to control for these things with statistical analyses, it's just very hard to do. So just understanding the limitation of understanding truly, like, oh, what does the data show? But overall, the general data, those who exercise at a moderate intensity for about 3 to 4 hours a week have a 10 to 20% reduction in of cancer compared to those who are sedentary. So you might say 10 to 20%, that's not worth it. At the end of the day, Once again, if you go back on all the different episodes here of this entire season, you see that exercise is so good for so many things. And so this is just like another cherry on top. Like, okay, we're improving another aspect with exercise. So even if you reduce cancer by 10-20%, what are the effects it's having on your blood sugar, on your cholesterol, on your blood pressure, all these different things. And so kind of taking the bird's eye view, that is very, very good for it. And then another question I wanted to cover was, how does cancer affect someone's fitness, meaning the cardiovascular fitness? You know, unfortunately, cancer patients typically have poor cardiorespiratory fitness. And when you have this poor respiratory fitness, it can lead to increased symptoms, decreased functional capacity, and then increased cardiovascular morbidity and mortality as well. So hey, saying, hey, if you have cancer, obviously it's a very challenging thing. If you have cancer and you have chemotherapy, and that can just take it out of you. But for those who are starting with a poor respiratory fitness, then we have less to pull from. The way I think about this is, it's a reserve, right? We are building up reserves. When we are very fit and our cardiorespiratory fitness is high or strength is high, that you have a bigger well to draw from, a deeper well, essentially. So meaning when you have these insults, whether you get sick or you get cancer or whatnot, you know, if you lose some of that, you still are at a higher level, and it leads to decreased symptoms, hopefully, from other things. And the big thing is just keeping you functional, right? Keeping you functional. And then when we are physically inactive through cancer, that increases our risk for cardiovascular morbidity and mortality because if we're inactive. So lots of things. So it can kind of compound on each other. And lots of other things may factor into that though as well in terms of people's age, comorbidities, medications that they're on, a lots of different factors. But overall, it seems that it's very helpful to be fit because cancer can decrease your physical reserve in terms of cardiorespiratory fitness. And also we see a loss of muscle mass, right? So a loss of muscle mass and cachexia, which is kind of muscle wasting secondary to cancer, that plays a big role in just being functional, right? And so if we are losing muscle through cancer or chemotherapy treatments, that can happen as well. And so that can lead to disability and frailty and increased risk of falling and fractures and all that stuff. So it's really important to, once again, have that reserve, but the understanding that, you know, even if we have that reserve and you're super fit, cancer will take some of that away. And so we want to start at the highest level possible so that when we do lose some, we're still functional and able to do the things that we want to do day in, day out. And so now let's say that, you know, someone's been diagnosed with cancer, and obviously I'm going to take a step back. Everything you do should be working with your physician, specifically your oncologist, to make sure everything is good and kosher. So I'm not just saying, hey, work out. Like, this dude on the internet told me to do this. No, obviously work with your doctor on things. But I don't think you're going to find many people who are going to say, hey, you shouldn't be working out. But the question I have here is, what are the benefits of exercise during cancer treatments? You know, first things first is it might be an adjuvant to treatments, meaning it helps either enhance the efficiency of radiation or maybe pharmaceuticals, something like that. It could also maybe increase your tolerance to those medications, may reduce your side effects. And there's also, it helps decrease your risk of developing chronic diseases from different medications. So there's always going to be medications you give, and the medications are always going to have side effects. That's like the biggest thing with chemotherapy. I mean, it's just the way it works. We're attacking so many cells that we're going to have that, and maybe decrease some of those side effects and or increase just the tolerance of the medication. That's a huge thing with that. So it's kind of augmenting the treatment. Maybe it helps make the treatment work a little bit better. On top of that, exercise with cancer also seems to improve a bunch of qualities, including psychosocial outcomes, increasing cardiorespiratory fitness, reducing fatigue, improving anxiety and depression, and then overall just giving to a better quality of life. And that's a big thing. And you know, going hand in hand with this is, okay, well, we're saying to do it. Is it actually safe to exercise during, you know, a cancer diagnosis or cancer treatment? And there's numerous, you know, meta-analyses and reviews that showing the physical activity and exercise are safe and acceptable before, during, and after cancer treatments and diagnosis of pretty much cancers of all types. But obviously there's risks to any activity, right? Even when you're 100% healthy, exercising is not completely risk-free. There's always what's going on. And we have to have certain considerations here. So first of all is, when these patients have treatments, things like radiation or chemotherapy, it can lead to side effects just from the medications. You may have treatment-induced complications, specifically things like heart failure or lung disease or other heart and lung issues. And so that could lead to issues on in terms of what's your exercise tolerance, you know, how much exercise, you know, how much can you do, how intense can you do? That is very possible. I mean, there's certain medications that affect the heart. If you develop heart failure because of your chemotherapy, well, then that's going to change what exercise looks like. So this should always be done in the setting of a professional. Other things to think about is you might have complications like an ostomy bag, meaning if you had colon cancer and you need an ostomy bag, just in terms of that make things a little trickier to exercise. You might have severe fatigue, might have balance issues or weak bones. And so the way you exercise before might not be the exact same during the treatment of cancer or whatnot, but overall, the general statement is that we want to be doing something, we want to be exercising, but working with your healthcare professional to kind of figure out what's the right regimen for you. But the good outweigh the bad by far in the literature, but there are definitely things you have to consider. And then the next question I want to ask is, Hey, what does cancer do? What effect does it have on cancer relapse and survival? And specifically, we'll start off with breast cancer. In 2005, there was a Nurses Health study, kind of looked at women with breast cancer who walked more than 3 hours per week, and they had a lower recurrence and higher survival rate. Then there's another 2008 cohort study that showed that those who exercised for greater than 2.5 hours per week had greater than 60% reduction in the risk of all deaths compared to those who were active. So 2.5 hours per week, which is not a whole lot, they're just kind of exercising there, had a 60% reduction in the risk of all death compared to those who were active. So big there. And then another 2019 systematic review showed that breast cancer survivors who were the most physically active had a 42% lower risk of death from any cause and a 40% lower risk of death of dying from breast cancer. So just a couple studies there. Obviously, there's lots of different studies, but it's showing that, man, we have a pretty significant reduction in mortality when we're exercising. So just once again, pounding home the point of how important that is. Moving on to colorectal cancer, they found a couple studies. Those who do exercises 1 to 2 days a week had a 5-year survival of 71%, as opposed to those who didn't exercise only had a 57% survival rate. So that's a pretty substantial difference there, 71 versus 57. They're just exercising 1 to 2 days a week. So not even meeting the physical activity guidelines, just doing a little bit there. And then additionally, those who exercise had a lower cancer-specific mortality when compared to sedentary men. So not only do they just decrease the risk of dying overall, but dying from cancers. And then people who exercise also had a 36% reduction in relapse rate, disease-specific and overall death. So 36% reduction in the relapse rate, disease-specific and overall death. So a couple different metrics looking at there, definitely beneficial. Then moving on to prostate cancer, in a couple of studies, I saw those who were doing, you know, exercise and dietary interventions at a lower rate, their PSA progression was a little bit higher, meaning if your PSA, we kind of check it and follow it out. Those who didn't exercise as much had faster progression, whereas those who did exercise had a lower rate of PSA progression, meaning once again, we're kind of holding things off. And those participating in 3 or more hours per week of vigorous activity had a 61% reduction in prostate-specific death. And that's pretty substantial there, once again, 61%. And so moving on to the next question we have is, how does exercise actually help with cancer? In 2005, there was a randomized controlled trial that showed that those who exercise on a regular basis, which is about 30 minutes of walking per day for 6 days a week, they were eight times greater inhibitory effect on the growth of cultured cancer cells compared to the control group. So they didn't specifically mention, you know, what they're looking at, but in a cultured cancer cells, they said, hey, those people who walked had a 8 times higher greater inhibitory effect. Obviously, just petri dish. Those are not fantastic studies, but has a lot of mechanistic ideas. So there's a couple biochemical changes that may happen. Exercise may help increase cell growth regulators, increase proteins and DNA repair, as lots of hormonal changes. It can increase the immune system, decrease inflammatory changes and chronic inflammation. So there's lots of good things that you can do. And overall, there are plausible mechanisms for why exercise may be beneficial for cancer. And then going hand in hand with that, the kind of overall mechanistic theory that I've kind of seen in the literature is saying you can use exercise as kind of a treatment with chemotherapy. So exercise during chemo administration may actually alter blood flow and the microenvironment and might make cancer cells even more susceptible to treatments. And so mechanisms in terms of, hey, it's doing lots of good things, you know, maybe improving DNA repair, whatnot, but then also maybe making the chemo itself even more efficient. So there's lots of things. We're learning more about this. It's actually really cool. It's like a kind of a growing area of medical field, essentially exercise oncology, which is kind of cool to think about. Hey, can we use exercise as a treatment specifically for, meaning augmenting our treatments? Obviously, it's not just alone, like, hey, let's just try exercise versus chemotherapy. That will never happen. That will not be a trial that is run. But overall, just thinking, how can we augment this treatment? It's pretty cool. And for those professionals who are listening here, they kind of mentioned a couple of things, like, you know, what role do we have as professionals in terms of helping them understand the benefits of exercise in cancer? So patients may lack the knowledge and confidence to exercise safely and have fears about overexerting themselves, right? Specifically, it's like, hey, I don't want to do too much. You need your rest. You know, everyone says you need your rest, but it's very important for us to do it. And how physical activity is proposed to patients is actually really important. And it appears that advice from any healthcare professional, specifically doctors, is the most influential thing that can help them exercise more. So if your doctor says, hey, I think you should be exercising, that is probably one of the most influential things that we can do. So, it's very important for us as providers or physicians to say, hey, we should encourage them to exercise. And obviously we're doing it within reason, right? So you kind of have to understand, meet them where they're at, right? Some people are attracted initially, but some people, you know, they'll only be able to do it if you bring it up a couple of times or have different things and understand, like, hey, how does this fit in your routine? One barrier that I saw specifically in literature was people not understanding like how to do this, how to fit this in your normal routine and kind of understanding that. And obviously leaning on professionals, right? It should be individualized to the person. But the first thing first is individualizing, saying, hey, like, where do you, you know, where can you do this? What do you want to do? And if that's just walking, that's okay. Like the first message, if the first message is avoid a sedentary lifestyle, that's like one place to start. That's great. I actually recommend that. Like if you can avoid being sedentary, great. And then build from there. And that being said, though, if you're listening to this, this does not mean you should tell your family to do something. It's pretty much never a good idea to give your family medical advice. I try not to do it. But if you're listening to this, be like, oh, my friend has cancer. Like, I'm going to tell them to do this. Okay, like take a step back. Like maybe you can talk about it and introduce it to them. But there's a lot going on when people have a diagnosis of cancer. And so the last thing they need is someone saying, hey, you need to do this. And I think, yeah, the data is there that it's going to be good for them. But just if you're going to do it and talk to them about it, just be loving in the way you do it and not just saying you need to do this. But just something to think about there. But overall, exercise clearly plays an important role before, during, and after cancer treatments. And it's never too late to start. Literally any spot in this whole journey, it's never too late to start. And it does seem like it helps people tolerate the side effects associated with cancer treatments much better. So that's another improvement about it. Also improves survival and probability of relapse. So that's like the biggest thing, right? Improving cancer survival and the probability of relapse. That is really the holy grail what we're looking for. However, though, if you have cancer, please talk to your doctor first. Specifically, if you've never exercised before, just to get on the same page and understand you can do it in a safe way. But that's it for today. Thanks so much for watching. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this, please sign up for my mailing list where I'll notify you whenever I put out new content, and I'll never spam you because I hate spam. I promise that. But this does conclude the episode. Now get off your phone, get outside, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time. Disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment, education, and informational purposes only. The topics discussed should not solely be used to diagnose, treat, or prevent any condition. The information presented here was created with an evidence-based approach, but please keep in mind that science is always changing, and at the time of listening to this, there may be some new data that makes this information incomplete or inaccurate. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or qualified healthcare provider for questions regarding any medical condition.